You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And beyond. Hope y'all are doing well. Happy Monday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It was a pretty gosh darn good weekend for Wisconsin sports. I certainly had my fill and then some with the Brewers' incredible come from behind victory, the Packers chalking up yet another in the W column on the back of quarterback Malik Willis. Who would have seen that coming? I mean, holy cow. I also went and saw just a bit outside yesterday after that incredible Brewers win and the Packers victory against the Titans, which is a two-hour masterpiece reminiscing and frankly sort of love letter to the 1982 Brewers. But more than that, a love letter to Wisconsin sports fans and Wisconsin baseball fans, especially. There were a couple of particularly poignant moments in that film where the Brewers, one of their star pitchers that they had traded for just at the very tail end of the 82 season to help them in the playoffs, a guy by the name of Sutton, talked about after they had lost in an absolute heartbreaker to St. Louis in Game 7. When he arrived at County Stadium the day after that heartbreaking loss, after a parade of fanfare where thousands of Brewers fans came out, it didn't seem to the fans or to the team as if they had lost the World Series. But Sutton said in an incredibly touching moment that he, of course, always wants to win a World Series, but that given the choice of being in St. Louis the day after that final Game 7 and being in Milwaukee and County Stadium and celebrating with Milwaukee fans, he would have rather been in Milwaukee, which I thought was...
Well, yeah, I mean...
It was really special. I can't say enough about the movie. So lovely. And again, it really speaks to how each and every one of you make the sports environment in the state of Wisconsin so amazing. You're not a huge sports fan, like everybody knows what's going on with that stuff. And I think it's an incredible source of pride. And sports bring us all together. I think that's one of the things that's really nice about these moments. And certainly yesterday, the Brewers not disappointing. They came back from an 8-0 deficit against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That was wild.
Whoa, those first couple innings were a little hard to watch. And then it all turned around and it was amazing.
It was totally wild, folks. That is my producer, Jess. I think a lot of people turned it off by the third inning and thought, we got the division championship sewn up and we're in the playoffs. But that was incredible. 8-0 deficit. They ended up beating the Diamondbacks 10-9. That is tied for the second biggest comeback in franchise history.
Good job, crew.
I know. Amazing. And it's the biggest comeback for Milwaukee since 2004 when we came back from a 9-0 deficit against Cincinnati. So kudos to the crew. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Keep watching this space. Who knows? Maybe we might get a first round bye. Not decided yet. And then, of course, Malik Willis. He got a little revenge against the Titans this weekend. That was pretty gosh darn exciting. I was sort of cheering out of both sides of my mouth, flipping channels, trying to consume both games at the same time. But that's a great weekend for everybody in Wisconsin sports. That third and long from Malik Willis to Christian Watson, saw it hanging up there like it's in slow-mo. Oh my gosh, he's going to get that. I bet you all were screaming at your TVs. I certainly was, jumping up and down all day yesterday. And then, of course, ending with my big crocodile tears at Just a Bit Outside. I couldn't help but crying at that movie. Oh. And, of course, my dad came with. There was a group of eight of us, a bunch of my buddies and my dad. It was a good moment. And, again, if you haven't checked that out and you are a Brewers fan or just a baseball fan, there's a lot in that movie, including the importance of umpires to get every pitch correct.
It's a crazy role. Like, I know that it's popular to blame the ump when, you know, they're not calling things that maybe you're seeing it, but it is so much that they are keeping an eye on, and they do not have the benefit of being able to go frame by frame the way that, you know, you can do when it's digital and you're going through a recording. They're seeing it live.
Yes, and there is a ball strike call. I believe it was in Game 2 of that 82 World Series, where by all accounts, the ump should have called strike 3 and it would have closed out the Cardinals, and it likely would have led to a Brewers win of that game, which would have led to the Brewers winning the World Series. Like, literally one pitch call, folks. It's all there in Just a Bit Outside. A really, really cool flick. Loved watching that. But we have a packed show for you today. There are just a few things happening this weekend, you know, like the government getting funded. Here's our show lineup so that all of you can be sure not to miss a single minute of it. We've got Colin Seeberger from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. He was on, I don't know, a week or two ago. He's going to join me at 2:30, specifically talking about Project 2025 and abortion, because that's a big deal. And the language in Project 2025 and the things that they're promising are downright scary, because it's an explicit entrenchment and entanglement of a very narrow and, I would say, hyper ultra conservative take on Christianity, basically defining our government policy. Last time I checked, there was supposed to be a separation of church and state, but, you know, maybe I got that wrong. At 3 p.m., of course, it's Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We're going to be joined by Nabil Ahmed, Director of Economic and Racial Justice at Oxfam. We're going to talk about how inequality globally and the increase in wealth inequality globally is destabilizing and in and of itself a threat to international cooperation and world peace. Of course, the United Nations convening in New York, President Zelensky of Ukraine here to address the General Assembly. And the other huge topic of discussion, not just Ukraine and what is occurring in the Mideast, but this idea of increasing an acute global inequality has got everybody buzzing in New York City. And last but not least, Dom Salvia is going to be joining me in the 3:30 slot. A little lead into Dom taking over the reins at 4 p.m. Of course, in that 4 p.m. hour, we're going to have Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where in that 4 o'clock hour, if you've got the app, the Civic Media app, which you can get for free from any of your favorite app stores, you can text in the word of the hour, which Dom will give you in that 4 o'clock hour. That's going to enter you to win $100 or some gold jewelry. And that text will also enter you to win for our grand prize, which we'll give away at the end of this week, which is a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. That would be quite the nice holiday present to yourself.
Oh, for sure.
And again, club level.
Yeah. Go get treated real nice.
Yeah, that is always the hook when it is those deep late December games. Yeah, I have frozen my tushy off at the frozen tundra and Soldier Field and a few other places watching sports. But Civic Media's got you covered there, folks. Get your phones ready for that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But let's get to the business of the day. We have a spending deal. Thank goodness. I was a little surprised that Speaker Johnson gave up the ghost eventually, because he had made it his personal crusade in this governmental funding bill to get some piece of it, a poison pill, added in there that would require people to prove their U.S. citizenship when registering to vote. Here's the deal. Like, that's already the law.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seemed familiar from when I registered to vote.
Yes.
I certainly had to do that.
It's pretty insane because, again, that's already the law. So, what are you doing? What this was designed to do by Republicans, because it sounds kind of reasonable, right? It's like, oh, well, when you register, prove that you're a citizen. The documents that are required to register in many states, there are also back-end protections that check the voter registration list. Like, there are all sorts of mechanics going on here. But what this was actually designed to do was permit a lot of objections to voters on voting day. It's kind of a scare tactic.
So what you're saying is that it's not actually to make sure that, you know, our voting is secure. It's to keep people from voting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah,
that's
just
different.
Interesting. And of course, slow the machinery down, right? Inject false uncertainty. All of this sort of anti-democratic language that you hear from conservatives now all the time. It's weird. They say they're patriots, but they do everything possible to undermine our democracy by undermining the right to vote. So again, a poison pill. Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, finally gave that up. They just hit a clean continuing resolution to continue to fund the government basically at current levels, because that would have been a disaster for Republicans. But of course, Donald Trump wanted it. We're going to listen to what Glenn Grothman, that genius, had to say about the whole
rumpled.
Yes. He always wears the same suit. We'll talk about it because he's weird. Hear what Glenn Grothman had to say about this whole mess when we come back here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. More in just a moment. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Yeah. Freedom, freedom, where are you? Because I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom riding. Hey, I'm going to keep on running because the winner. Everybody, move your body to the facts and information shared with you here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Monday. I hope everybody's week is kicking off with a bang in the best possible sense. I know mine is, because at least we've got a government funding deal that will get us through the election. So we're not going to have to revisit this. There are two things about the near shutdown that we had, because the money runs out very shortly. The first one was the complete garbage holdup that Republicans wanted to hang their hat on, which is like, we need legislation to make it illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. We're like, that's already the law. Oh, and in addition, there's this thing called the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996 that explicitly prohibits non-citizens from voting in federal elections. So, like, yep, we already got that thing. So it is not legal in any state for a non-citizen to cast a ballot in a federal election. Like, that's already the law. So, of course, all of this was the worst sort of performative politics, right? Y'all will remember, performative politics for me, it's the use of power or leverage purely for the sake of doing so and or to elevate one's own publicity or simply to use power because you can. That's what Republicans were trying to do here. It ain't about securing our elections. It's about keeping people from voting and scaring the bejiggers out of everybody else, meaning all of you regular folks that are citizens and want to vote, making you think that somehow this is a problem. It's not. It never has been. And one only need to ask Glenn Grothman about the evidence of non-citizen voting for all of this kerfuffle to be cleared up. We're going to listen to that sound in just one second. Here's the other thing that I know. So, complete non-issue, performative politics, of course, from the right. And who was driving the ship? Ah, none other than the Cheeto himself, the orange Jabba the Hutt, Donald J. Trump, because he had convinced himself that a shutdown would actually work in his advantage, which is insane, okay? Like, no pundit, Republican or Democratic, has ever said that a government shutdown is a good thing. So, averted, but again, let's take a listen to Wisconsin's own, and maybe our own version of Jabba the Hutt. Less on the national stage.
More for sure. There's a little bit of setup here, and then we get to this actual question. Yes. And yeah, let's just take a listen.
Let's take a listen.
Who is making sure that if somebody shows up, pick a random name, and says they're a citizen, who is checking that they are a citizen? Of course, nobody's checking that they're a citizen.
That's a lie.
So you have an entire opportunity here for cheating, and that's why this bill has to pass. You have to ask yourself, why did all but three Democrats vote against a provision yesterday that you have to prove that you're a citizen before you vote?
Because it's already the law, Glenn.
But that is sadly where the Democrat Party is right now. They can't wait a few years until some of these new immigrants become citizens, or until they have children, they become citizens. The Democrat Party is so radical right now that they want these people voting immediately. And if they don't want them to vote, fine.
Lie.
Just have them show they're citizens.
What's the evidence that it's happening? Where have you seen that?
Well, I haven't seen it, but we know it's happening, right?
Oh.
I mean, screw you, Glenn. Screw you, Glenn Grothman. How dare you scare people into thinking that non-citizens are voting? That has been a federal requirement in federal elections forever. It was further enshrined in the act that I mentioned before, which is the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996. The process of verifying voter citizenship across the United States it varies from state to state, but the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 requires states to use a common voter registration form, which includes, under penalty of perjury, an attestation to citizenship, and then states, as I was saying before, verify voter identity and information using state and federal databases, such as the Social Security Administration. You know, you get a Social Security number when you're a citizen, and state departments of motor vehicles, and they cross-reference all of this. So everything that Glenn Grothman said in that entire clip is all a lie until he gets to the part where he's like, well, I've never seen any evidence that this is actually a problem. But we'll legislate something, we'll make something illegal that's already illegal and not a problem, and I haven't looked at any evidence about it. But of course, I'll make all kinds of partisan accusations and scare the crap out of people.
Yeah, great leadership.
I'll go back to screw you, Glenn Grothman. Mike from Spring Green.
I may have missed your answer while I was being screened here, but I was just wondering, if I were asked to prove that I'm a citizen, I'm not sure how to do that because I don't have papers. How do I prove I'm a citizen?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. And this is part of what the problem is. people would have to go get birth certificates, which cost money. It's just, it's again, these additional barriers to voting. What's happening in the background that people, again, this is the sausage making of election process, is this description of what happens. It varies a little bit from state to state, but under the Federal National Voter Registration Act of 1993, all states have to use the same voter registration form. It includes an attestation under the penalty of perjury, which is a crime, a federal crime, in this case on a federal form, that you are a citizen. And then states effectively do these random cross-checking using the Social Security Administration, the DMV, other databases to ensure that people are citizens. And they do that checking every election cycle. Thanks so much for the call, Mike. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Colin Seeberger of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk about Project 2025 and the scariness that it includes related to reproductive freedoms that affect you and your family here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got that and much, much more coming up for you after the bottom of the half hour. You'll hear your farm update first, and then I'll be back with Colin here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Baby love, I think I've been a little too kind. Didn't notice you walking all over my peace of mind. And the shoes I gave you as a present. Putting someone first, only words.
Well, welcome back, Wisconsin. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. I'm host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Last half hour, we talked briefly about the fact that Speaker Mike Johnson, through a continuing resolution, kept the federal government funded. Woohoo! You'll see this debate kick back up after the November election. We were talking about the fact that he poison pilled that bill for a while. He eventually gave up the poison pill. The poison pill was basically to say that non-citizens can't vote in federal elections. That's already been the law for a really long time. We had some great texts. I just wanted to share some of this information with you all, and then we're going to bring on our fantastic next guest. First of all, just point of fact, illegally voting in a federal election is a crime. It is subject to imprisonment, potentially up to a year. If you are a non-citizen and you do this, you will get deported. You will have any legal status that you may have had, which permitted you to be here, it will be revoked. And it is highly unlikely you would ever be granted legal status again. Perhaps more importantly, the Heritage Foundation, here's the bridge to our very next topic, I guess. The Heritage Foundation, the author of Project 2025, which might as well be subtitled The End of America as You Know It. That Heritage Foundation, the one that gives Donald Trump marching orders on behalf of the U.S. United States oligarchy, at least on the right, did a study of elections from 2003 to 2023. So 20 years of elections. And they came up with a whopping 24 instances of non-citizens voting. Oh, dearie me. We should unfund the federal government over those.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, this is how stupid it is. Another study conducted by the liberal Brennan Center for Justice, or more liberal, analyzing 23.5 million votes across 42 jurisdictions in just the 2016 general election, found 30 instances of non-citizens casting votes. 30 out of 23.5 million. It wouldn't even show up as a percentage if you were rounding to the tenth of a percent. No. So, yeah, this is all garbage, and they know it. They're just trying to scare you. And speaking of the Heritage Foundation's work, on this. I'm really excited to bring back a guest that I had a couple of weeks ago. His name is Colin Seeberger. He's the Senior Advisor for Communications at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Welcome back, Colin. So glad that you can spend some more time with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Maggie. Feels like I was just with you in Waukesha a few hours ago, but it was 2 weeks almost.
Oh my goodness. Folks, you're going to be able to find the Center for American Progress Action Fund joining me, Maggie Dawn, here in the 2:30 slot every single Monday, because that's how important this stuff is. Can you describe a little bit about the topic areas that the Center for American Progress Action Fund studies? And then I want to talk specifically about Project 2025 and abortion, because you guys study a whole lot of different issue areas that are very important for Wisconsin voters.
Absolutely. Yeah. So at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, we really sink our teeth into what are the most pressing policy conversations in our national discourse, every single day. So everything from, how do we grow the middle class and make sure that more people are able to gain a foothold in it? How do we protect and expand our rights and freedoms so that more people can enjoy, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and be able to, not just support themselves, but support the families that they want to build. And that's exactly why, we're so alarmed by what we see in Project 2025.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being here, Colin. We want to talk a bit about what is a regressive and oppressive approach to women's health that you see in Project 2025's blueprint to destroy America in one presidential term. There's so much in here, and all of this comes on the heels of Vice President Harris's speech in Georgia this past Friday about abortion rights. And that occurred after the deaths of two Georgia women as a result of that state's draconian abortion ban. Their names were Amber Nicole Thurman and Candy Miller. Some great reporting by ProPublica. So women are dying as a result of, frankly, a religious takeover of government here in the United States. Why does this matter so much in Wisconsin?
You're exactly right. I will just add, in addition to the fact that Vice President Harris gave what I think was probably the best speech of her campaign last Friday in talking about those preventable deaths, we actually got new CNN reporting out this morning of a woman in South Carolina named Amari Marsh. Amari Marsh suffered a miscarriage in the state of South Carolina and was actually ultimately held in state detention for 22 days. For after having miscarried and was threatened with potentially serving up to a lifetime in prison because of the care that she received. So this is exactly the kind of real human story, the exact kind of punishment that Donald Trump made clear when he ran for president in 2016. He said that women who receive abortion care, the same kind of care that is often administered when a woman suffers a miscarriage, needed to receive some type of punishment. Well, we're seeing it again, not just in the case of Amber Nicole Thurman, Candy Miller, but also Amari Marsh. And it's also all spelled out in Project 2025, how they want to take, the devastating consequences that we're already seeing from Trump abortion bans in place in the states already. They really want to take that to the next level, and they want to effectuate what's in essence a backdoor national abortion ban, even in states that protect reproductive freedom.
Colin, I and my producer Jess are just absorbing the news about Miss March in South Carolina. We've been preparing the show all day, and I'm actually a little physically affected by what you just said, and incredibly scared. That woman had a miscarriage and she was locked up for 22 days.
Held without bond, mind you.
I'm so upset by that, Colin. I'm sorry, folks. Just give me a second here. This is very real. This is not hyperbolic. These aren't rhetorical situations. And it, I am so, so offended and scared for women and families in this country, because I think, Colin, your point that the plan of Donald Trump, Donald Trump's plan, Project 2025's plan, J.D. Vance's plan, they may talk about, oh, we'll leave it to the states. But what they are talking about is a national abortion ban, which will kill women. Yes. There is no freaking question about that. Let me take an example from Project 2025. They want to create a task force that ensures that the entire federal Department of Health and Human Services, quote, use their authority to promote life and the health of women and their unborn children, end quote. That is not health care for freedom. That is not promoting the health of families and women. The document also claims that the department should be known as the Department of Life. And they go on. Here's another quote. The next president should work with federal lawmakers, and this is a quote from Project 2025, quote, to enact the most robust protections for the unborn that Congress will support, end quote. That is a national abortion ban. That is banning IVF. That is tracking women's pregnancies so that they can prosecute women like Amari Marsh. That is where this leads. There is no question about that. Is there, Colin?
No, there's absolutely not. They actually spell out quite clearly in Project 2025 that they call on Congress to pass a law declaring life begins at conception. So not only are we talking about a national abortion ban, we're also talking about throwing fertility care into complete and utter chaos.
Yes.
It's basically impossible to manage IVF and other forms of fertility care if life is actually considered, legally protected at conception. It is spelled out quite clearly, and we know exactly what their agenda is. It's not just to make abortion care impossible to receive and criminalize women and doctors. It's not just to make it impossible to get fertility care you need. It's also actually making it more difficult to be able to manage when you get pregnant.
Yes.
You know, included in Project 2025 is an explicit call to strip, I think it's about over 45 million women, including 875,000 women in Wisconsin, from being able to access emergency contraception at no cost, as they're legally entitled to because of the Affordable Care Act. They ripped that away from 875,000 women in Wisconsin. And so it's not just criminalizing abortion, making it more difficult to be able to build a family. It's also making it more difficult to manage when you actually get pregnant, so you can, make sure that you're doing so at a time that works for you and your family.
Yeah, it is truly shocking. And here is the quote from Project 2025, folks, that talks about this tracking of pregnancies. It states that every U.S. state must be required by what is now going to be called the Department of Life, which is currently the Department of Health and Human Services, to report, quote, exactly how many abortions take place within its borders and at what gestational age the child is and for what reason the mother's state of residence and by what method the abortion was had. Folks, you get into this constantly sort of devolving gray area, and the natural result, if that were enshrined in law, would require the reporting and tracking of every pregnancy in order to comply with that sort of data gathering requirement. I don't see any other way to do it, which invites the government, if you're a small government person, it invites the government not just into your family's life, into your family planning process, but into the body of every woman in the country in some way, shape, or form. Can you confirm you're not pregnant? Because if you are pregnant, then we're going to track you and find out exactly how long you've been pregnant for and what you're planning to do with that. It's the Handmaid's Tale. I mean, Margaret Atwood, bizarrely prescient.
Totally, totally. I mean, this is the same plan that also eliminates federal funding for Planned Parenthood. It's the same plan that calls for misapplying the Comstock Act,
yes,
which is an 1870s law to prevent the mailing of quote unquote obscenities, right? And basically making it impossible to actually get medication abortion to market, even in states where abortion rights are protected. So they've spelled it out very clearly. You know, they specifically also call for instructing the FDA to overturn approval of abortion medication. So we're talking about this kind of politicization of, you know, these independent agencies like the FDA. I mean, who wants, you know, Donald Trump's lackeys controlling what medications people are able to obtain and making determinations as to their safety and efficacy?
Yeah, that one's particularly scary because if he's willing to deal away all of our clean air and water protections for a couple of billion from the oil and gas industry so he can claim a dictatorship in this country, who's to say he won't deal away drug approvals to his favorite drug companies at the expense of your and my health? It is obnoxious. We're going to continue this discussion with Colin Seeberger, the Senior Advisor for Communications at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, here on The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. More discussion of the dystopia that Project 2025 and Donald Trump promise for you and your family when we come back after these brief messages. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Our very special guest this half hour is Senior Advisor for Communications at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Colin Seeberger. We're talking about what Project 2025 and Donald Trump promise for each and every woman in this country and everybody who loves women. And that is a total invasion of your body and your life, an installation of a right-wing extreme Christian nationalism that will further curtail women's rights and the rights of each and every one of you, whether you're a man or a woman, to plan your families in the way that you wish. And it will require monitoring of women at such a level that it literally turns the stomach. And let us not forget, this has always been the plan. This is Donald Trump's abortion ban. This is Donald Trump's vision for America. We need only listen to the tape. This is Donald Trump just a couple years ago with Chris Matthews talking about what should be done to women who get abortions in violation of a ban. Let's take a listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
Ten years,
I don't
what?
Know. That I don't know.
Maybe he should ask Miss Amari Marsh, who spent 22 days for having a miscarriage in the state of South Carolina and was threatened with life imprisonment. Maybe he should ask the Heritage Foundation, who authored Project 2025, which promises the tracking of women's pregnancies, making it illegal for women to cross state boundaries to obtain reproductive care, and who urge anti-abortion policies, quote, in every jurisdiction in America, and who say that the government should, quote, maintain a biblically based, social science reinforced definition of marriage and family. It ain't childless cat ladies or dog ladies like me.
They're going to be reinstating the biblical definition of when life starts then? Because it's not conception.
Yeah.
It's first breath.
Yeah. Interesting. Wouldn't that be an actual biblical definition of life? Colin, this has been the plan all along, and this is but one element of this Republican, this Trump plan, this Heritage Foundation plan to really undo things like Medicare and Medicaid and to, frankly, make healthcare less affordable and less attainable for Americans.
That's totally right. I do have to just add one point. So last week, you know, Donald Trump has been trying to distance himself from this unpopular agenda. You know, I feel like every other day he picks a new position on abortion he tries to espouse, right? And it was made painfully clear last week when Donald Trump, who says that he's been a leader on IVF, right, didn't lift a finger when Senate Republicans were called to question on whether they were going to support people having access to IVF. It came up for a vote last week. He didn't lift a finger.
Crickets.
To protect access to IVF. So don't call yourself a leader when you're responsible for throwing fertility care in this country into chaos. You don't lift a finger to get your allies on Capitol Hill to do anything to fix that chaos. It's just maddening. And, you know, you're exactly right. This is really part of a larger project on not just taking away people's rights and freedoms, but making it basically impossible to afford to get the health care that they need. J.D. Vance talked last week about, former President Trump talked about concepts of a plan for healthcare in the debate, right? Well, J.D. Vance spelled it right out. And you know what it looks like? It looks exactly like what Donald Trump proposed.
Oh, boy. We're having some slight technological difficulties.
So we're going to get Colin back as soon as we can because I want to hear about what J.D. Vance had to say. But in the meanwhile, we don't need to ask J.D. Vance because Donald J. Trump has said what he will do with Medicare, and that is to unfund it. That's what Ron Johnson has said. Let's listen to Donald Trump on Medicare.
One last question.
Go ahead.
Entitlements ever be on your plate?
At some point, they will be. We have tremendous growth. We're going to have tremendous growth this next year. It'll be toward the end of the year. The growth is going to be incredible. And at the right time, we will take a look at that. You know, that's actually the easiest of all things, if you look.
Cutting Medicare is the easiest of all things.
If you don't cut something in entitlements, you'll never really deal with the debt.
We'll be cutting, but we're also going to have growth like you've never had before.
You changed your outlook on how to handle entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Mr. President, it seems like something has to be done or else we're going to be stuck at 120% of debt to GDP forever.
So first of all, there is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting. And
so every time they say entitlements, what they mean is Medicare. And we had Colin. Is he still there? Let's bring Colin back. We've got you were saying about what J.D. Vance made clear about the Trump Vance plan to gut healthcare and make it more expensive for every American.
Yeah, that's right. So really, what that plan looks like is exactly what Donald Trump actually tried to pass in his first term in office, which was, taking healthcare away from tens of millions of Americans, making it more expensive for people with pre-existing conditions to be able to get that care. And he'd do so by basically pushing people into a separate risk pool that allows them to get charged thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars more. Say if they have diabetes, they're a pregnant person, they have cancer, all of those things that are more expensive, they want to be able to charge you more for it. You're protected under the law right now because of the Affordable Care Act.
Thanks so much. And they do want to get rid of the ACA. God bless John McCain for the thumbs down of historic proportion. That is Colin Seeberger, the Senior Advisor for Communications at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. The CAP will be back every Monday at 2:30. I'll be back after the top of the hour for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.